So today I want to continue on in that study on the book of Ruth. Amen. And we're going to be closing it out with this. And I love this because I was asking the Lord, I said, now what else can I say about this book? I mean, we've said a lot, amen, in the first few chapters, but I believe that God wants to close it out by reminding us of what this book is about. The book of Ruth is a story of redemption. Amen. In it, we're overwhelmed by the hardship and the difficulties of the life of Ruth and her family. We are pushed to ask God this simple question, as to why. Why would this story be in the Bible, and why is it necessary for us to read it? What was its purpose? The answer is pretty simple. I mean, because many of us will never experience the type of prestige of a King David, amen, that sat on the throne of Israel, that God told him that the scepter or the leadership, the role of leadership in Israel would not depart out of his house. Many of us will not see walls come tumbling down like Joshua saw in Jericho. Many of us will never see fire come down from heaven like what happened in Elijah's day. So we have this story of Ruth, a very ordinary person with absolutely no connection to the full plan and scope of God, so we think. Amen? Amen. She kind of comes up out of its obscurity. The story of Ruth, we see an ordinary people with issues of loss and difficulties, challenges that they face. The story illustrates the frustration of life as we seek to live it out by faith. And in it, there's this unspoken yet real question, where is God in this? And so our series, where is God in this? So we're going to look at Ruth chapter 3, verses 15 to 18, and we're going to talk about the power of expectation. Did anybody come into the house with some expectation today? Amen. You came in expecting God to do something. Amen. Maybe you came in the house expecting God to do nothing today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will get what you expect. Come on, somebody. You will get exactly what you expect. If you expect to receive nothing, you know what? Nothing is possible. Come on. Amen. But if you came to see something, if you came for God to do something, amen, I want to talk to you about the power of expectation. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen. Praise God. So let's look at the text of Scripture today. Amen. Amen. In Ruth chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. And also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she said, she told her all the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. And he said unto me, go not empty to thy mother-in-law. And she said, sit still, my daughter, until now how the matter will fall. For the man, listen to this, for the man will not be in rest until he has finished this thing this day. Turn to your neighbor and says, it's going to happen. Hey, it's going to happen. He said, it's going to happen. You know, when we begin to look at this particular text of Scripture, I begin to ask myself about what it meant to redeem something. You know, this is the story of redemption. The kingsman redeemer is kind of like the centerpiece of this story of how Boaz would take a Moabite woman and would redeem her because of the connection that he had with her now dead father-in-law. Redemption means to take possession of. It means to assume ownership. Amen. To say, this is mine. ownership is something that we need to understand. Ownership is more than just controlling something. Ownership is to take responsibility for, to care for. Amen. That becomes our charge. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1 says, 1 and 2 says, "And Naomi, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?'" Verse 2 says, "And now is not Boaz thy our kindred, in who, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." See, Naomi is like any mother. Naomi only wanted the best for her daughter Ruth. You know, she wanted the best for her. She said, "I want it to be well with you." I mean, any parents today want it to be well with their kids, amen. We want them to do well, amen. I mean, I don't know about you, but I want my children to do better than me. Come on. Amen. 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 I want them to do better than me. I want them to be able to do more than I believe that God has destiny upon their lives. And all parents feel that. God, no matter how situation is, there's always hope in a mother's heart toward her children. Come on, somebody. There's always hope that some kind of way things are going to work out and there's going to be a shifting. There's going to be a change that's going to take place. Ruth's connection with her mother created an opportunity. Right? It is really amazing because as they left from Moab and they went to Judah, I mean, Ruth, being that she was not from Judah, she was a Moabite, she was different, she was a foreigner, she was an outcast, she was outside of the plan of Israel. And there was nothing that Judah owed her. But her connection to Ruth, a woman that was married to a relative of Elimelech, in whom Boaz was a relative of, created an opportunity. There were no guarantees. Come on, in this. Amen. There were only possibilities. Something good is about to happen. I don't know. I mean, many times we step out in faith only because of a possibility, only because of a hope. I mean, you know, people make investments because of a possibility. No guarantees. I mean, they'll tell you in the fine print, you can lose everything. Come on. I mean, they use a lot of words to say that, but they still are saying the same thing. You can lose everything you invest. You know, but we step out in a hope. We step out in a dream that somehow things are going to change. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things," what? "Hope for." You know, you don't hope for something that you already have. Come on, somebody. You don't hope for something that you already have possession of. Hope is always future. It's looking for something, longing for something that is not yet in existence. Faith is both substance and it's also evidence. Amen. Amen. One pastor told me like this, that faith gives hope a body. Come on, somebody. It makes your hope come alive. It gives it something tangible to grab hold to. There's nothing more powerful than faith. And at the essence of faith is expectation. Expectation that something is going to change. Expectation that something is going to be different. That I'm not going to go out the same way that I came in. That something is going to take place in my life that I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm believing and I'm hoping that change is going to happen. Amen. Expectation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, he says, "But for through faith we understand that the worlds are framed, not by our thoughts, not by our intellect, not by some big bang thing, but it was framed by the word of God." That what God said, he spoke it into existence. By faith we understand that. By faith. He said, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things that do appear. You know, he says, through faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did. He says, by which he attained a witness that he was righteous. You know, his gifts made a declaration for him. Why? Because he offered up something to God. He said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Anybody here? Amen. Amen. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. Come on, somebody. I haven't got my plot picked out yet because I'm looking for a crack in the sky because God's going to come and get his people. Amen. God is going to come and take us home. Amen. Wouldn't it be great to get so close to God that you don't have time to die? Come on. Woo! Glory to God. That's what happened to Enoch. Enoch had, the Bible says he had a testimony that he pleased God. So God just took him. The Bible lets us know, he said, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. Do we have some people of faith in here today? Amen. Do we have some people of faith in here today? That God has called us to be faith. Faith declares that God is. Faith declares that God has a reward, that he rewards those. Faith tells us that we have a reason to seek him with all of our heart. Faith tells us that. Amen. Without any shadow of doubt, it declares. Ruth's connection to her mother created an opportunity. Not only that, opportunity requires preparation. Everybody say preparation. I heard this quote some years ago. He said, it's better to be prepared for an opportunity that never comes than have an opportunity come and not be prepared. Come on. Right? Opportunity requires preparation. Yeah, so she had an opportunity, but she needed to prepare herself for what God was going to do. Now, this is where it kind of gets a little bit weird to me. Have you ever read something in Scripture that just seemed a little weird? Right? I see a few hands going up. Everybody else is so spiritual. You guys got it. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, just something that was kind of weird. This outside. Look, this is kind of weird to me. So he tells her, wash thyself and anoint thee and put raiment upon thee and then get down to the floor, but make not thyself known to the man until he is done eating and drinking. Now, this is an interesting scenario. Now, I get the first part. Wash yourself, get prepared, look good if you're going to go, you know. Look, that's it. Dress up, look good. Don't put on your worst of your worst, amen. So she was telling him, get dressed up. And then she says, and it shall be that when he lies down, that thou shalt mark the place that he lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay down, and he will tell thee what thou should do. Now, I don't get that. Huh? Yeah, I mean, some people say, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about. We do that all the time. I don't know about that. That was not a part of my custom. I mean, if my wife had to come to me and uncovered my feet and laid down by my feet, I would think that would be quite weird. I think that would have been quite strange. I mean, I wouldn't be thinking that she's saying that she would like for me to be her husband. I didn't get that translation. But Ruth, she had to do something though. She had to do something to prepare for the opportunity that was before her. She had to do something that was different. She had to connect to a strange and foreign system. She had to do something that maybe in Jewish culture they knew exactly what they meant. Obviously they did. Boaz knew exactly what that was all about. But being a Moabite, she had no clue as to why she would be doing this. So in verse number 18, look what it says. This it says. So let's see. Is that it? Let's see. Then she said, she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not rest until he has finished the thing this day. So, obviously, during this particular time, he understood what she was doing. She understood, and when she shared with him that you're our kindred, he recognized that, yes, that he was in line to redeem her and to bring her close and bring her into his family. He said, but there was someone closer than I was. And he says he has to have the chance to say no before I can say yes. And so that all went on. But he let her know that this redemption that you seek is going to happen. this redemption that you seek is going to happen. Amen. He says Boaz is going to do all, and it's going to work out. Come on, somebody. It's going to work out. She had faith to know that even though that was somebody else that was first in line, that he was going to get out of the way. Come on, somebody. He said, because this is going to happen. She spoke a word of expectation into her heart that this is going to happen. Let me tell you something. This is what she was telling me. He says, you shall be redeemed. Come on, somebody. He says, you shall be chosen. Come on. He says, you shall be favored. Amen. Some kind of way, some way, somehow, you're going to come out on top. Some way, somehow, God is going to show up, and this is going to work out. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen. This is what Jesus came to do. This is why he came. Because he wanted us to know that redemption was part of his plan from the very beginning. Amen. He didn't just decide to do this kind of offshoot. It was just kind of a happenstance. It was his plan from the start. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. He says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born, made of a woman, made under the law. For what? To redeem them that were under the law. Come on, somebody. To redeem. This was his purpose, to bring redemption. This was his purpose to pay the cost. This was his purpose to bring people, the people of God, back to God. Amen. This was his purpose. That what we might receive the adoption of son. And it was all about time. It was just about time. He said, in the fullness of time, that was an appointed time for God to do his work. That was an appointed time for God to do what he desired to do. It was all about time. In time, God would send forth his son. In time. In time, God, he would send him as a man, you know, born of a woman, as a man, dealing with the same stuff that Ruth was dealing with. The same, amen, brokenness and loss and ups and downs, the thing that we call life, amen, the same stuff. He was under the same guidance and rule of law as everybody else was, but he came with the purpose to bring redemption. Redemption and adoption was the thing that Jesus Christ came to do, to give his life. And let me let you know something, my brother and sister. It doesn't matter how far, amen, we have strayed from God. It doesn't matter how far we have run from him, from place to place to place. We try to X him out and say, you don't exist anymore. But God's plan of redemption will not be held up. It's going to happen, amen. It is going to take place, amen. Amen. His plan of redemption, amen, is based upon a promise, amen. Because God has made me a promise, I know that redemption shall come, amen. My mother prayed for that, amen, over her sons, that one day God will bring them to him. And let me let you know something. God answers our prayers. Is there somebody here that's been praying for someone to come back to God? And let me let you know something. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. Bible says in Timothy, know also that in the last time, perilous times are going to come. He says men are going to be lovers of their own selves, covetous and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents and unlawful and unholy and just like what we see going on today, amen, riotous and amen, and don't want to be under authority, amen, don't want to listen to nobody, think they know it. Okay, is anybody here today? You got people in your life that's just like don't want to hear nothing from nobody. We're living in that time without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. He said, this is the time. Amen. We're living in that time. He said, I love what Luke said, but Luke said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Oh, come on, somebody. This is not the time to walk around with your head hung down. This is the time to look up, amen, and lift up your heads for your what? Your redemption, come on, is going to happen, amen. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's on its way, and only thing we got to do is receive what God is doing in our life. His redemption draweth nigh. His redemption draweth nigh. No matter what we face, God is at work. Even when I don't see him, you're working. Even when I don't feel him, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Come on, come on. He is at work in our life. Even when we don't feel it, no matter what you're facing, God is at work. Whenever, no matter what you're facing, his purpose is our redemption. Let me let you know something. It will happen. It will happen. And now, the great thing about having a relationship with God is that we know it. Come on. We know it's going to happen. Amen. No matter what we face, we know it's going to happen. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things that God prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Come on, somebody. The Spirit of God rests in us. And we know that all things, amen, not just some things, not just good things, not just the best things, but all things are working together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Aren't you glad that God called you? Aren't you glad that God has given your purpose? Aren't you glad that you love the Lord? Is anybody here that loves the Lord? Because all things are working for our good. Amen. Things are going to come in your life that are going to be good things. Things are coming to your life that are bad things. Things are going to come into your life that are unexpected things. But it's working for my good. My redemption is closer than when I can ever believe. It is right there because it will happen. Ruth demonstrated her devotion to Naomi, her love for her God. She said, your God will be my God and your people my people. She demonstrated that she had a greater purpose. Come on. Do you know you have a greater purpose than what your past will tell you? You have a greater purpose than yesterday. You have a greater purpose than last week, last month, last year when you made that bad choice, amen, amen, got involved in the wrong relationship at the wrong time in your life, and it kind of put you, it kind of shipwrecked you for a moment. But let me let you know something. Your future is greater than your past. Come on. Because God is setting you up for a greater purpose. Setting you up for a greater purpose. God started something when he came into your life. God started something when he made himself a reality to you. And can I tell you something? What God started, he will complete. Look what the Word of God says here, Philippians. Being confident is the very thing that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's going to happen on that day? What's going to happen on that day when Jesus Christ? Ephesians says it like this. He says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. He says, let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor working with his hands that which is the things that are good, that he may give to them that have need. But it's not over there. He says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good for for the use of edifying, that ministers grace unto its hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We have a Spirit of God in us. Don't grieve it. Whereby you are sealed. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. You are sealed. You are marked. You are covered until what? The day of redemption. Turn to somebody and tell them it's going to happen. It's going to happen. God has marked you for that day of redemption. A little over a year ago, my wife and I were looking to purchase a home. And you know how it goes. They send you all kind of papers. You know, you got to sign all these papers. And then you have to give them some money so they can make sure that you're serious about the purchase. Now, I hadn't purchased it yet, but just giving them the money and signing the paperwork, amen, sealed, come on, it was the seal upon that house until the day they gave me the keys. Come on, somebody. Come on, come on, come on. I want you to hear me. But when they gave me the keys, I can say, now it's mine. But we know that as long as you carry a mortgage, that really is not really yours. But if you keep making your payments, come on, somebody, the day's going to come when there's no more mortgage. Come on, somebody. The day's going to come when you can say it's all mine. The day's going to come when it's all paid off. The day's going to come, amen, when your redemption draweth not. Let me tell you, let you know something. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. We have been bought with the price. We're not our own. We have been sealed, or given the Spirit of God, and sealed until the day of redemption. One day, God's going to come for his people. He's going to come. He's going to grab those that belong to him and leave those that don't. Thessalonians says it like this. He says, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of God, and the archangel, amen, and the trump of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those that are alive and remaining are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. Come on, somebody, to meet him in the air, and so will we ever be with the Lord. Redemption is powerful, because when you understand that God really has designed you to be with him, he has designed you to have a relationship with him. The decisions that we make today. Remember, everything had to do. It was just an opportunity. This is what grace is really about. Grace is the opportunity that we have to know God. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we would not even have the opportunity to know God. But because he died on the cross, because he gave his life, he became that bridge between us and God and gave us opportunity to know him. But opportunities requires preparation. Come on. So you need to prepare yourself for the opportunity. How do we do that? By receiving Christ into our lives. Allow him to be Lord of our lives. And then commit our lives to serve him. Look, this church, I'm believing God that every single member of this church will be serving God. Not just being a Christian. We don't need you just to occupy a seat. Come on. And somebody, you're not happy just occupying the seat anyway. You want to do something. Come on. Anybody here? Y'all just want to do something. I want to do something for God. I don't want to just sit and occupy a seat. I want to do something. So this is what we're going to do. This is my new philosophy of discipleship. You guys ready? We're going to disciple the lost. That means we're going to talk to people that don't know God about Jesus. And we're going to win them to Christ. We're going to have them come to know God. And when they come to know God, we're going to release the found. We're going to release you. We're going to release you to go out and tell other people about Jesus. Amen. Because you will grow faster telling other people about Jesus than you would people just reminding you of the Jesus that you know. Come on. We're going to do it. Amen. So get ready for what God's going to do. Amen. You excited about Jesus today? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to happen. We're going to see God do great and mighty things in our life and our church. Amen. Amen. We're believing God for growth and expansion and multiplication and all this stuff. It's going to happen. Why? Because it can't not happen. Because God has us here for a purpose. Amen? And we're going to see that purpose come to pass. Come on, give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. We're so excited about you being here with us.